with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, submitting to God's will and way is praising Him. That's one way we submit to His will and way. He wants the praise of His people. Amen, amen. God bless you this morning. So good to be in Sunday school. I want to teach just a little while. And it's not a new subject, but it's something I think we need to remind ourselves of. Because I tell you, we serve a great big God. And He loves His people. How much does He love them? He sent His only begotten Son. Simply because He loved us. Amen, amen. I want to go to the scriptures right quick this morning. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away. Don't ever think because God might be dissatisfied with you or angry with you that He won't bless you. You return to Him. You give Him what's rightfully yours. His anger will be turned away, and Thou comfortest me. Verse 2, behold, God is what? My salvation. Why wouldn't I serve a God that is my salvation? I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. How many has ever had to draw water out of a well? Probably most of the older generation. I even did. My grandma and grandpa had a well, and it had a pump on it, but sometimes the pump didn't work, so we'd have to draw it. And it's a little bit of work. Especially, now, some people, I heard my grandpa talking about having to walk way down by the creek and pack it from the creek all the way back to the house. It takes a little bit of effort, but with joy, you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. Now, verse 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. That is the entire chapter 12 of Isaiah. And it's simply a hymn of praise, the entire chapter. And it was a description of a people's joy about when Jesus Christ comes to this earth again to rule and to reign. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. And we don't need to wait for that day to express our joy or to say His name is exalted. I tell you, we need to be praising Him, thanking Him, and doing those things right now. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, I have come today with a renewed desire and a burning desire and commitment to praise God for everything that He's... I tell you, there is no... There's nothing of communion with God that is any greater than praise. Why? Because He dwells in the praise of His people. It's that simple. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I titled this lesson, I took it from the fourth verse, did I make mention His name is exalted? Amen. Amen. I tell you, the spirit of the Antichrist today is doing all it can to sort of paint the church today as being very intolerant and very narrow-minded. But I tell you, there is a fire burning in all of us that is stirred by the words of Isaiah that said, make mention that His name is exalted. That name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. I tell you, it seems like through the media and everybody else, it's just little by little, they're trying to portray the church as a bunch of simple-minded people. And they'd rather see us go away and let the world go on like they want to do. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day, the scripture talks about, and we'll read it later, about every knee's going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I heard a statistic the other day that it said children that are raised in church, it doesn't matter what denomination, but raised in church, trying to follow Jesus Christ, by the time they leave home, go to college, and sort of get on their own, 4% return to church. Somewhere along the way, something has gotten into their mind to make them doubt the Word of God and that He is real. Amen. And that's what we need to guard against today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in earth and things in earth and things under the earth. I tell you, at the very last judgment, even the ones that are condemned are going to recognize Jesus' authority and His right to rule. Amen. I don't care who you are. People can choose to commit their lives today to Jesus Christ, or you can wait in that day and you will confess Him as Christ and Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I tell you today, we got to be prepared to meet God. I tell you, we cannot become complacent and get to the point where we don't put Him first in our life. Verse 2 of our text said, "Behold, God is my salvation." Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus' name simply means Savior. And Jesus came to save us simply because we're not capable of saving ourselves. Amen. That's why He came. No matter how good we are, no matter who we are, you cannot eliminate the sinful nature inside of you. Jesus only can do that. Amen. Amen. He didn't come to help us save ourselves. He came to be our Savior. Amen. Amen. From the power and the penalty of sin. We can't say, "Yeah, he lend me a hand a little while and he helped me just a little bit." And I say, no, Jesus saves you completely. We have nothing. We're not good enough to do that. He is our salvation. Amen. So we need to start with our salvation when we're praising Him. If you have nothing else to praise God about, thank Him for your salvation. Hallelujah. Thank Him for the fact that you can live in this world free from sin. Amen. Amen. That's something to praise Him about. Psalms chapter 40, verse 2. "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I tell you, when David wrote that, he received 4 benefits for waiting on God and praising God. He lifted him out of despair, set his feet on firm ground. He established his goings, and He gave him a new song. Amen. God help us to be patient and to wait on the Lord. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What amazing words. What profound words. Christ came to die for us simply because He loved us so much. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel a praise in this place today simply because I've been saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is nothing greater than our salvation to give Him praise for. I want to make mention, His name is exalted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also in verse 2 of our text, he talks about God is my strength. Psalms verse 60, chapter 61, verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I tell you, when you can't go any further and when your strength is gone, Jesus is your strength and your strong tower. I tell you, He is my strength. His arm is not slack. I tell you, He feels our infirmities. He's wanting to lift you up. And I was reading a couple of stories the other day. I've read over and over and over again about Job and about Ezekiel. And you know two words in those stories that stood out to me all of a sudden? It's the two words, thou knowest. In the midst of my worst trial, the very worst thing I'm going through, things that I've lost my family, I've lost my farm, I've lost my animals, I've lost everything I had. But God, thou knowest. You know what's around the bend. And I tell you, He is your strength. And in your lowest moment, you can say, thou knowest. He asked Ezekiel in his vision of the valley of dry bones, can these bones live? Oh God, thou knowest. You just tell me what to do, and I will follow you. He is our strong tower. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather have my infirmities. I'd rather you never deliver me from this trial I'm going through, that the power of God may rest on me. Believe in Him, folks. He is your strength. God didn't say He was going to remove Paul's affliction. Say that. He just promised to demonstrate His power in Paul's pain, in Paul's trial. And I tell you, when God's power shows up in your weakness, it ought to give you encouragement. It ought to give you courage, spiritual courage. I tell you, our limitations, a lot of times, that's what develops our Christian character. It's what gives us strength in our spirit. It deepens our worship. Why? Because in admitting them a lot of times, God strengthens us. Sometimes we have to tell God, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't go anymore. Let your strength come to me. I tell you, if you start relying on your own abilities and your own resources, it's not going to work. And it's going to lead to pride. It will lead to pride. And you know how God feels about pride. The Bible says He hates it. Amen, amen. But when we're weak, allowing God's power to fill us, I tell you, will find yourself stronger than you've ever been before. He is our strength. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I think we've talked about this before, how the mother eagle nudges her children out of the nest and tries to teach them and prompt them to fly. And when they fly, she's out there with them flying and she's paying attention to them. And if they start struggling and looks like they're going to fall, you know what the mother eagle does? She swoops down underneath it. That's why He wrote this right here. And bears that baby on her wings until it hits the ground and keeps teaching it how to fly. I tell you, God is my, He's not going to desert you. Amen. He said He would never leave us, never forsake us. Hallelujah. Lord, let me learn to lean on Your strength. Amen. Because I tell you, one touch of His hand will put you back in the game. I tell you, when the enemy goes to knock you out and you're still standing, make mention that His name is exalted. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that. Every chance I get, I'm going to make mention that His name is exalted. God is my strength. Verse 2 of our text we read talks about my song. And I tell you, when you have a song to sing, the enemy's defeated. When the enemy's after you, sing him a song. When you feel like you're running from me, turn right around. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Sing to him. It don't have to be on pitch. It don't have to be your key. Just sing to him and let him know God's been good to me. I got a new song. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Lord, don't let me ever be guilty. Well, I can't sing. Yeah, you can too. You don't have to have an audience. The only one you need to sing to is a good Lord. Hallelujah. Sing a song. I tell you, David would play that harp to the sheep as a shepherd, not knowing that one day he would be playing before a king, trying to soothe that spirit that was in King Saul. But he would sing a song. Amen, amen. I tell you, in the there's a saying in the sports world, the best offense is a good defense. And there's a lot of truth in it. And I tell you, in our spiritual battle, God is our strength and our shield. That's what the scripture, all we need to do is trust in him. And I tell you, when he defends us, how could we not sing him a new song? Just make one up. Just make one up. It doesn't matter. Just whatever's in your heart. Find something in the Psalms to sing. Amen. But sing him a new song. Amen. You got to have a song. Psalms 33 and 3, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalms 149 and 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. In the congregation of the saints. You better be singing in front of all these people. Hallelujah. Sing a song in the congregation of the saints. Every new victory deserves a new song. Amen, amen. Miriam had a new song when Moses and all the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Listen to this, Exodus 15 and 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Make mention that his name is exalted. Hallelujah. Miriam didn't have to stop and write a song and get in. Brother, she grabbed a timbrel and started singing and marching and dancing, and everybody behind her, sing a new song, the horse and the rider's in the sea. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to rhyme. Just sing a new song. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of our text, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I've already mentioned about how it takes effort to draw water. The well is not going to erupt. The scripture didn't say that and just flow over you. The Bible says with joy you're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. I tell you, these wells are full of God's blessing. These wells are full of healing. These wells are full of strength, joy, love, peace, contentment, gladness. And with joy, we draw water out of the well. Just like our human body cannot live without water, I tell you, the spirit in a man cannot live without the water of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I tell you, in the gift of the Holy Ghost and spiritual blessings is simply mine for the taking. All I have to do is dip down into the wells of salvation. Amen. 2 Samuel 9 and 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And you know that story about Mephibosheth, how he wanted to know, was there any descendant of the king? And Lodabar itself means dry place. And I noticed when I read those scriptures about that, of course I only read that fifth verse about King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Lodabar. But I got to reading and he said, is there any descendant? I'm paraphrasing.